Halacha Ches, Kishiyatsu Rabba on the Shimon Gamliel. It's on page Nuntes. Page Nuntes. Kishiyatsu Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, La Hadiga. There are two of the Asara Hadugi Malchus. The Nasi and the Kohen Gadol. Rabba on the Shimon Gamliel was the Nasi, he was the acting Melech. He was Ki'ilu, he was the Melech in the time of the Bayis Sheni. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Elisha, who was the Kohen Gadol. Lahariga, they were taken out to execution approximately a month before the Churban Beis Hamikdash. Before the Beis Churban, they were taken out. Amalei Rabba and Neshim Gamliel Rabbi Shmuel, Eini Yoidea Loma Niyotze Lahariga. I do not know. I've been a Cheshbon Hanefesh. I do not know what I have done to deserve this. Omar. So Rabba and Neshim Ben Gamliel said, Shema Kishayisa Dorish Barab. When you're giving a drasha, Hoya Libcha Sameach Vehen Acha Libcha. You had pleasure. You had delight in your learning. So Amalei, so he said to him, you are correct. Nicham Tani, you have comforted me. I now understand why I am dying. I now can understand that I can understand why I deserve this punishment. Obviously, this is not for us, because on their level, by us, halavai, halavai, we should enjoy every single word of Torah, mitoch shelo lishma bo lishma. But on his exalted level of spirituality, he's coming to tell him that maybe the pleasure you derived in learning was not 100% l'shem Shammai. Maybe there was a slight tinge of pleasure that was your own. So okay, you can make out of it whatever you want to make out of it, but it is dvarim nifloim to say such a thing. We do not relate to this at all, as far as yes, of course. But the simcha is the simcha in Hashem. It was Hashem, the symbols I have joy in serving Hashem. The joy, but the joy that, I'm better than everyone else, and that I have pleasure, and my pleasure is selfish pleasure. This is something which is not proper. Now, for us, we don't go into this world because halavai, we should have pleasure. Any pleasure we get is good, I mean, to a degree, when we learn Torah. Every person has what to learn from this, not 100%, but in regard to a person of charata, from his evil deeds, bitzni usoy, in private, yelich v'yase masav. When a person does good deeds, his good deeds should be done in private. So it appears that the Sefer Chassidim is telling us he's focusing on the word birabim. See, we would totally miss this if not for the Sefer Chassidim. You can darshan from today until tomorrow what exactly was Rabbi Shimon Gamliel telling Rabbi Shmuel. You should understand that you're being punished. There's a reason. And the reason is because you took pleasure. So what's wrong with taking pleasure? So he says the key word in this Chazal is Kisho Hayisa Doiresh Bo Rabin in public. You enjoy the publicity. You enjoy the honor you received berabim. That's what the Sefer HaChassidim is sensitive to, and therefore he tells us, therefore, when a person, look, go jump down one, go one, v'chein yatzchol adam, k'shei yischad b'masav adoyim, bitzni uso yelech v'yase ma'asav, a person should conduct his spiritual affairs in private. So he does not have this nisoyon of taking joy, look, I'm doing it berabim. Everyone is looking at me. Everyone is giving me honor. I'm the greatest tzaddik. I know what I'm doing. V'inyonav b'seiser, v'al yehoneh liboy klal b'masav harayim. Therefore, do not take pleasure in your good deeds. And therefore, certainly you're not going to take pleasure in the honor because no one's giving you honor when you're doing it b'seiser. V'yaf mikol inyin hachasidus yaseh b'seiser. Any chumrah that you do, keep it a secret. No one needs to know all of your great deeds. First of all, no one could care less. And number two, even if they do care, it's none of their business. Show that it's l'shem shemayim that you do something b'seiser. Ki kvar nemar, haster devarecha. Devarecha means your, doesn't only mean your words, it means your devarim. You should conceal your devarim, which means all of your religious matters should be done in private. No one needs to know that every single night you say tikkun chatzos. No one needs to know you gave all this tzedakah. Whatever you could conceal, the better. Unless, if what you do in public will have an influence on other people, so then, in a chanami, then the people should use you as an example. If people don't have money to give, then it's none of their, they don't have to go flaunt your wealth by showing everyone how much money I gave to tzedakah, if there's no one that's going to learn from you, because there's no one in your community that can possibly do it, be like you. They don't even have money to pay off, buy food. So therefore, what are you going and torturing them by bragging, look how much money I have, look how great I am. Next. A person should always follow the principle of tznius. It's the biggest mistake we make in this world to think that tznius is only for women. The ikar tznius is for men. And tznius doesn't mean the way you dress. Tznius means hatznei leches, that your deeds, your conduct, your affairs of your relationship between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu shall be in modesty. Keep it to yourself. Don't go take credit what you've done, something good. Next, you should guard yourself that you do not take pleasure in what you've done, and you should not bring your heart to joy by thinking that you're superior to other people, because look how good I am, I'm a tzaddik. And here he writes, very, very frightening. Okay, this is what you learn Sefer Chassidim for. A lot of things that come from Sefer Chassidim, Shem Sameach Liba Bifnei Ha'olam, Kibel Miksas Charoi Shel Oisa Mitzvah Ba'olam Hazeh. Kavod is a very dangerous thing. Chazal say if a person, according to if a person gets big, real honor in this world, that is taken away from the reward a person gets in the next world. Receiving kavod in this world is not a good thing. Person always shy away from kavod. So the answer is you should know. You know that's not true. No, it's not true. You should know. You should go ask people who do these dinners, and you'll discover. Not all the time, but 90% of the time, they have to twist their arm.
They don't want to be honest.
Twist their arm. It's the biggest torture. Twist their arm and mamash put them in an electric chair to tell them that you have to do this. And I know how the conversation goes. What? What? It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. It's also it's bizyonis. Anyone that has a half a brain, you don't need to have a whole brain. Anyone that has a half a brain knows that being honored by any institution is pure bizyonis. Pure bizyonis. So why do they do it? I'll tell you. You know why they do it? It's because it's my duty to do it. The yeshiva needs a guest of honor. I have friends. If there's no guest of honor, guess what? It's just the way. Money doesn't come in. If there's a guest of honor, you got to give money. I'm your friend. I have no choice to put in an ad, showing my ad, the organization. This is the way the world works. Someone has to be the guinea pig. Someone has to be the carbon. And they tell these people, listen, you have no choice. You have received enormous benefit from this institution. We've done for you. Why? We've done for you something. We've educated you. We've educated your children. Or you have an organization, let's say, that does infertility. You benefited from us. So you owe us. You have to suffer the bezionis. So you put yourself in the paper, and you send out, they don't do anything, you send out the letters in your name, and you ask all of your friends and relatives, give money, open up your wallet and give money in my honor. My honor and honor of my bazillion.
They don't want to because they don't even know.
For many people I know, it is torture, and they view it as pure bazillionis, and they do it 100% l'shem shemayim as being it's their duty to do it. It's their duty to be honored so that you can bring money into the institution. That's the truth. How it is in most of the time. You're right. There are definitely people that love the limelight. They love it. They love it. They thrive on it. And they have money to burn. And they give big money. Ah, another plaque on my wall. There are people like that. We all know people like that. What? The morning call will dinner. Who's the money going to go to? Who's the money? To the shul? To the shul? Who's the, to me? I don't think so. So this is the way it is. So
a person has to feel good about himself also. You can't just be mavatli itself. If you feel yourself like a shmat, it's very, very.
Of course. We know. I told you the vart from Rav Hutner all the time. Rav Hutner says, and there's a lot of truth to it. The vart. It's not just a joke. A person can live for weeks, for years, without a home. If you're a Rachmana Litzan, a homeless guy on the trains, how long will he survive in this world? A long time. Eventually, the elements will catch up with him. Eventually, he's not going to live until 100 years old. Eventually, being on the street the whole life, the cold, the heat, the filth, he'll get to him, he'll die young. How long can you live without clothing? A little less. Right? Clothing, you get cold. Eventually your body's going to not gonna be able to deal with the elements. How long can you live without food, solid foods? A couple of months, maybe. I don't know exactly. How long can you live without water? A couple of days. How long can you live without air? Harry Houdini. 4 minutes, 5 minutes without air. How long can you live without kavod? Not even 1 second. Not even 1 second. And there's a lot of truth to that, because kavod doesn't just mean, oh, here I am, I'm on television every night, right? I have a billion followers on my Twitter account. That's not what kavod. Kavod means self-worth. Self-worth. That's what kavod really means. If you have no self-worth, a feeling of some purpose in this world, some reason to wake up in the morning, somewhere deep, deep down, even though you wake up, what am I waking up for? But there's got to be something deep, deep down in your subconscious that you want to live. There's some purpose you have, some self-worth. That's why you're alive. Because when a person loses that that small amount of self-worth, you can't live. It's a truthful word. It's not just a joke. What? Definitely. Absolutely. 100%. 100%. Without question. See, worse than that, people just don't wake up. It's dealing with elderly people. It's a phenomenon. It's an incredible phenomenon that they don't eat. I know someone whose mother decided one day, she was very old. She was, I think, in her upper 80s. All of her friends died. All of it. Okay, I'm sorry. A young woman, really. And all of her friends died, and she really just had nothing. She really went into a depression. And I've learned to live for. She decided she's not. She wants to die. She's not going to jump off the Washington Bridge because they put nets there now, so it's not going to work. But instead, what is she going to do? I'm not eating anymore. I just don't want to eat. I don't want to eat now. If a young person tries, I'm not going to eat. It doesn't work. It's impossible. It's almost impossible for a young person. They say under 40 years old, it is kimat impossible, humanly impossible to decide I will not eat. If there's food on the table, if there's food available, that's why you're starving. There's food available, and you're under 40, and you decide you want to. And your person wants to commit suicide by not eating. It's impossible. At some point in time, the desperation for food will come to you, and you're gonna succumb. You're gonna eat something. You may be malnourished. You'll die from malnourishment. Vahulu, but you're gonna put something in your mouth. Someone at a certain age in their life already has the ability just to decide, you know what, I'm not eating. And they will commit suicide. It's in their power to do so. It's not common, but it's possible to do so. Now, why is that so? You can argue the whole day why it's so, but part of it, obviously, is that a person already feels there's a possibility that age, at a later point in your life, where you can go into depression, there's nothing more, there's no self-worth. What do I have left in this world that I need to live for? I'm done. It's a lack of kavod. And that kavod is, like you're saying, a suicide. You're just not going to wake up the next day. You can turn yourself off. It's incredible power. Let's go further.
My mother was 100, and she passed away 2 years ago. But it was her time, and she stopped eating.
Wow.
And
she decided to stop eating.
She decided, it was her time.
Time, okay.
She knew it was her time, and she stopped eating. It was.
Okay, that's different. Look, they say a lot of Gedolei Yisrael.
They tried to force feed her, and she pushed the food away. She said, "It's
my time."
Place.
Okay, she's a holy woman.
And
this one that I'm referring to was not out of holiness.
Right.
It was out of depression. It was out of depression. But you're saying your mother was not out of holiness. Out of depression. It was out of holiness. Okay, absolutely. A lot of Gedolei Yisrael are like this.
Because she had her wits about her.
Okay, absolutely. Look, the Chassam Sofer, I read the biography, the Chassam Sofer, how he died is so super bizarre, it's incredible. Basically, he knew exactly when he was going to die. I never heard such a type of death like the Chassam Sofer. He knew exactly when he was going to die, Bidiyuk. He told the people that tomorrow, many different, the day when he actually died, he took off his tefillin, and he had an attendant. He took off his tefillin, like, and he seemed to be okay, you know. He seemed to be like, you know, he still has another couple of weeks to go. He took off his tefillin, and he gave it to his shamas. Here is a matana for you. You've been so good to me. You have helped me all these years. Helped me all of these years in being shamish me. I want to show you my curse. I want you to have my tefillin. What do you mean? And here, take them. You need it tomorrow. No, I don't need it tomorrow. Here, my tefillin. And then it says... He said, I reviewed all of my learning. There are three things that I forgot. I'm not clear. Before I go, I have to review these three things. And someone's soon going to come to review it with me. Sure enough, 10 minutes later, this fellow, Talmud, walks in who's traveled. He heard he was sick. He traveled from the other end of the world. He comes in and he says, can you please tell me the three things, these three things that I want to know? And he tells them, oh, very good. You reminded me. Oh, everything is, I'll say it in Yiddish, everything is answered. Everything is answered. And then he does some other strange things. And then at the end, he says, Shema Yisrael, call also. He says, bring in some Talmud. I want them to sit and learn in the back table. I want to die in the presence of Talmidim learning Torah. So they bring in Talmidim and they start learning Torah. There's a cold Torah in his room. And then he closes his eyes and he pulls up the covenant and he says, loud, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And everyone there, they answer, they right away they answer. And he says it a second time. And then the third time he says it in a whisper, Shema Yisrael. And when he gets the word Echad, he dies. Did you ever hear such a bizarre, perfect death in this world? What? It seems like it's all documented. It seems like these things are not lies. The book, you should know, is pretty small. The book is a very small book. And basically he writes, why is the book small? Because I've only included in the book things that are absolutely true, that have absolutely been proven over and over, eyewitnesses documented to be no Baba Maises here. Baba Maises, I can write you a book over here of the Chassam Sofer 20 volumes, and all the Baba Maises are probably also half true. But these are the things that are all in the book, they're all Emes Lamitai. You're saying a holy person knows when his time comes. There's something to it. There's, even in today's day and age, there is definitely a sensation, a feeling and an awareness.
Biography.
Yeah, he died.
He knew when he would die. On the Sukkah, he got sick. Hashanah Rabbah. Yeah, he was sitting, he had stones in his
ears, not passing. And at that time, they
didn't know how to treat them. Whatever remedies they were treating him, he didn't respond. And he got poisoned, shock. So, as a matter of fact,
septic shock.
They know what to do.
They know what to do. He was there. It was Hashanah Rabbah. He desperately wanted the kvittel. He desperately wanted to be there for davening, and he got so sick during davening. They took him out, and he says, "It's not meant to be that. I should be part of this chasima, the chasima, the kvittel. It was not meant to be for him that he should be part of the chasima." Okay, let's go further. Let us go further. The al yachzik tevel yatzim b'mashin shachavnas l'shamayim yishmar shlo yenev lo yismach livay shem samach libo b'nei ha'olam kavel zavev im samach libo b'al karchach. Okay, I'm right in the middle. I'm in the middle here on the page. V'yim yismach libo b'al karchach klema lo yimidas midikavana. And he should say yilmo lo libo lokuf es yitzroi. If he has simcha against his will, he should basically push it out of his mind. If someone gives him honor that he's not really, and he should, it's not a good thing in this world to take honor. You're taking away from your chelik in olam haba by being mekabel kavod in this world. Rabbi Sekhli, please have some decorum, please. Okay, v'yilmoid lo l'liboy lakov es yitzray v'yachl. A person should train his heart to force his yitz v'yachl me'osei ma'isa shesamach bo. To train himself. Ki kama hayu min ha'mesim asher mesu bali ha'maisa hazesh asu ma'isim tovim. You're not unique. Ein mispar, there's no limit to the number of people who have done the same exact thing that you have done, and they died, and no one knows about it. So don't go think you're anything special. V'niftu v'holchu l'beis ha'lamim, v'nishtaka chadava v'ein lochem zichoron, ki nishkach zichron v'l'mazeh, v'imaskir lochem rak zichronim l'chaye ho'ilom haba. There are many people in this world that there's no zecher. It does not take away from their greatness at all. It means nothing. There are people there. We know there are millions of people, tzaddikim, who knows what the number are people who are the greatest tzaddikim, and no one will ever know about them. Does that mean they're less great? They're less great than the people know about, people they write books about? Of course not. So it doesn't mean anything. Lefich v'ifa ma yisrin li umala hanoli rak sheyishabchuni ba'olam hazeh. Now it shouldn't be rak. A lot of mistakes in the gears over here. Nero ligrois rak, but Nero ligrois sheyishkechuni, not sheyishabchuni. They should forget me. In fact, it would be better that I should be forgotten in olam hazeh. Now they say about the altar of Slobodka, he was a real spooky person, that he wanted very, very much that when he dies, it should be as if he never existed. That's what he wanted. He went and he spent his whole life training, molding Talmidim to be Gedolei Yisrael. But he wanted, I've done my job, and now it's time for me to disappear, and there should be no zech that I ever existed. That was his frame of mind in his purpose of life. I have a purpose here. I've done my purpose. I don't need credit. I don't want credit. I'm here to serve Hashem. I have done my mission. It's time for me now to depart quietly. No fanfare, no big funeral, no big memorials, no big plaques. I don't need all this nonsense. I just want to disappear. I've done my mission. That was how the Balei Musar, how they live their lives. They're not looking to make a legacy. Today we live in a world where people, when they get older and they have a lot of money, they don't do it themselves. Okay, they have a lot of money. A lot of time on their hands. They have no clue what to do with themselves. Oh, I have to now make for myself a legacy. So if they have no scholarship, so what with the money? I'm going to go and create an institution. I'm going to fund an institution that will carry my name, and that will be my legacy. So it's a very nice thing, and it should be done, and it's probably necessary. You need a little Yetzirah in order to get things done in this world. But from the approach of the Balei Musar, who are on a different level, which maybe really is not very good for this world today, is you don't have to have a legacy. What kind of nonsense is this? You have to leave over a legacy in this world. You have to leave over a memorial. That's not your purpose in this world. Your purpose in this world is to affect other people for the better. And you don't need to have a label made in America. You don't have to have a label where it came from. That's not necessary. Just see to it that you accomplish, you affect, and you change other people in this world for the better, and it is absolutely irrelevant that your name should be attached to it. Unless you'll argue, but if my name will be attached to it, people will want to emulate me after I die. Okay, if that's true, it's true. If it's not true, which most of the time it's not true, so what do you...
What? He wasn't sheeped to be by your name. I mean, it's a great thing.
What?
And people who donate things, they want plaques. I don't think there's anything wrong with
it. Nothing wrong with it, because they want it. But you're right, you can't judge. You can't judge. And many times it's not even them, it's their family. It's not the people themselves. It's other people who insist. And the yeshiva will insist, because if you're not going to let us put your name in the building, then we're not going to be able to go inspire other people that should give money. Kachi darkoi shaloyla. The way the world works is by honor. Giving honor, and you can't go change the system. That's the only way the world's going to work. That's the system, and people's names need to be attached to things in order for it to function in a healthy way. You're right. But when you do have an opportunity, and the opportunities come along more often than you think, where you can make a change in this world, and it's not necessary to attach your name to it, it's not necessary. I always bizarre to me, someone gives a new Sefer Torah. Okay, wow. Give a new Sefer Torah. First of all, today no one gives new Sefer Torah today. You give it for yourself. Today, everyone retains ownership of the Sefer Torah. It's very weird to hear about a person donating a Sefer Torah to a shul for the shul can keep it. Okay? Now, halachically, you'll tell me it's not correct. It's not true. If you already have a Sefer Torah you already wrote once, many of these very wealthy, they already have 10 Sefer Torah. They already have in their vault or their own Sefer Torah that they wrote for their own name. So now they have another Sefer Torah. So are they going to retain ownership of this other, or are they going to give it to a shul? So yeah, people build buildings, they do Sefer Torah. Okay, but let me ask you, why is it necessary, if you want to buy a gartel, a Velcro gartel for a Sefer Torah? The Velcro gartel, I remember when I used to buy one, back in the day, cost about $10, $15. Every letter that you have the machine sew on the Talazekel, Avraham ben Yehuda, Avraham, whatever it says, every letter costs about $1, so maybe a little bit more, I don't know, if different types of letters. So a guy goes and he buys a gartel, The gartel costs $15, maybe $10. On eBay, you could probably get it for $8. And then he spends about $30, $40 with dedicated by so-and-so, Lezecha Nishmas A, B, C, D, and don't forget everyone else. I mean, come on. You're such a covet maniac. You have to say on a gartel, you have to sew, and you didn't do it himself. I'm not talking about the shul doing this. It's not a dedication. Oh, for the gartel for the Sefer Torah, sponsorship is $10,000. No, we're not talking about. We're talking about the gartel in the shul is broken. It's broken. So, we need a new gartel. So a guy goes to the store, he buys a new gartel, but he wants everyone to know that I paid $10 for this gartel, and you have your name. It's a little, isn't it a little ridiculous? Is that ridiculous?
That's why people donate.
It's not the system. That's an abuse of the system. If you donate the shul, it's the system, you put your name on the shul. I agree with you 1,000,000%. If you buy the Sefer Torah for the shul, you buy the Aron Kodesh, you buy even the chairs, the shtenders.
What about the Sefer Torah?
The learning, Zeicha Nishmas, but not to the degree, you buy a Sefer, you're right. No, I agree. You put your name on the inside. The whole thing is the gartel. It's all you see is the gartel. Instead of seeing the gartel, all you see is donated by so-and-so, Lezecha, Nishma, so-and-so, and so-and-so. I think it's a little bit over the top when the cost of the letters is more than the cost of the object. Don't you think that's a little bit over the top?
No.
I don't know. Okay, difference of opinion. Difference of opinion.
The other one,
how many gartels do you have with your name on it?
No. See, the one, nobody should remember. They write Sforim.
So you write, so look, on this Sefer, do you see anyone's name on this Sefer?
Inside.
Sugar. There is one name on the front cover. Sugar. It's in small, it's not the whole Sefer. It's one little thing over here. He didn't do this. The art school had an appreciation for giving him an enormous amount of money. They did it. He didn't do it. The person that he gave them the money. Did he stipulate with them that my name must be on the front cover? I highly doubt it. And Archibald didn't go crazy by putting his name in big letters. They put his name on top in appreciation. And they gave him a page, a beautiful dedication for who this person is dedicated for. Okay? And that's it. That's it.
But I'm talking about a Sefer which is written by an author and he says, I am the name, my name. Like, the biography of Chassam Sofer.
Yes.
The guy wrote it.
So he has a right, has his name to be, you have to attribute.
According to the Slobodka Rebbe, he shouldn't have his name there.
No. That's not a matter of cover, that's a matter of authorship.
You open up all the Jewish newspapers, and all these mostos, and all everybody else, they're picking up these big ears for these people. What are you?
That's right. That's the Wakahi Darka Shalolam.
That's what they're doing. They're setting up the system.
That's right. And there's no choice. That is the system. He's over here. The Sefer Hasidim is presenting us this. There are two worlds. It's very important to learn a Musar. There is the practical world, and then there is the ideal world. The ideal world is impossible. Does not exist. But the principles that exist in the ideal world should be on our conscience, in our conscience, when we conduct ourselves in the practical world. In the practical world, it's all about kavod. And that's how it has to be. And don't even dare try to take it away. If you'll take away the kavod, you'll destroy the world. It has to be with kavod. But you should also keep in the back of your mind that kavod is nothing. It's just a big joke. And it it takes away from Olam Haba, and it's not what it's all about. L'may nafkamina, The nafkamina is, if you live only in the practical world and you don't deal at all with the ideal world of Musar, then when you have an opportunity to buy an item for a shul that costs $1 and you're going to spend $50 to put your name all over it to show the shul that, you know, who bought this for the shul? I bought this for the shul. You're going to go give an, everyone should make sure they're aware that I spent $1 on this item for the shul, and I gave, and I spent $50 to make sure the whole shul knows that I spent $1 for the shul. That means you're living in the practical world of covered, and you forgot that there's something called musr, When you add the musr to the equation, it changes your attitude. And when your attitude is changed, there are significant different nafkaminas in how you conduct yourself.
And sadly, the institutions and the people you're supposed to learn Musa from and get this kind of a feeling.
They're part of the problem. They are the problem.
When they take out,
guess what? I agree with you. I agree with you. But that's how it is. Look what it says over here. I don't understand. The shul needs a light bulb, right? The light bulb burned out. So, you know, you're anyway going to the store, and they just happen to have right in front of you, right in front of your face, the exact light bulb the shul needs, and it costs $10. So you take $10 out of your pocket, and you buy the light bulb. You come into shul, you turn the light bulb in. Oh, you know what? I'm now going to go home my computer and spend 3 hours printing up this beautiful sign and putting on the bulletin board a special... Yeah.
And I never saw your gato, and I never saw the bulb, and I never saw any of this. I don't know who you're in touch with that you have this happening.
You're questioning all my stories. My tall tales. The gato, if you want, I'll take you to show you the gato. You want to see the gato? I'll show you where the gato is. I'll show you where the Gartel is.
Tales of Rabbi Levine.
I'll tell you. I'm not making up these stories. I'm sorry to tell you. I'm not even telling you that they have not. I'm not even telling you they have not yet happened. I'm telling you they happened.
There are more people that go and buy the bulb and buy the garden.
Very good. Because they learn Musa. Because they learn Musa. That's right. That's right. That's right, exactly, because they learn Musa. They do chesed. They do chesed. They do Musa, exactly. Let's finish over here. Go to the cemetery. The mayor took me to the cemetery. You look over there, these kavarim. You look over there, these people, they must have been Gedoyle Yisrael. Does anyone even know who their names are? Does anyone even remember them? These were the greatest of the great. What happened to all these people? Nothing. They're in the real world. We're in the make-believe world. There was the story with Rav Mordechai Gifter. Rav Mordechai Gifter said to Mayor Zlatowitz, he said to him, Rav Mordechai Gifter, he gave a very cold haskama to our school when they first started. It was so cold, Mayor Zlatowitz didn't print it. I don't think he printed it. He didn't want to print it. I don't think he put it at the end. Then when Rav Gifter became more familiar with what they're doing, and with the team at art school, and he was so overwhelmed, so when they published the Mishnayos, he asked them for a haskam, and he wrote a lavish haskam, a very lavish, and he said to Mayor Zlatowitz, this one you'll print. So what do I say? So he said to Mayor Zlatowitz, I believe it was him, Rabbi Gifter says, who's doing who the toiva here? Am I doing you the toiva, or are you doing me the toiva? So Mayor Zlatowitz says, you're doing the toiva. We're using your name to give a haskama to Artsko. You're from the biggest Rosh Yeshiva in America. So he said to him, no, you're doing me the toiva. Let me explain. In the Mishnah Berurah, the Chofetz Chaim went to get haskamas for the Mishnah Berurah. By the way, not everyone wanted to give him. He had a hard time. Not everyone was impressed with the Mishnah Berurah, wanted to give him a haskama. Now, there are some very famous people there in the Haskamas, but most of the Haskamas, open up the first volume of Mishnah Mechilat Aleph and look at the Haskamas. You never heard of these people. You don't know who they are. You never heard of them. So tell me, who made who famous? The only reason why they exist today, their memory, the Zikaron exists today, is because of the Chofetz Chaim. The Sefer, basically, is a haskama that these are real gedolim. Because if not for the Mishnah Berurah having asked these people to give a haskama, these people would have been forgotten from the face of the earth. So the Mishnah Berurah lives on. And because Chofetz Chaim asked them the haskama, the people, who are these people? They study them. And they write books about them. Because if the Chofetz Chaim wanted them the haskama, they must have been very, very great people. So at the end of the day, who did who the favor? The Chofetz Chaim did a very big toivah to these gedolim by asking them to give a haskama, because by doing so, it preserved their legacy le'olam vod in this world. Rav Gifta said, the day is going to come, in his humility, he said, I'm going to be gone. No one's going to remember me. But I can see from what you're doing, you're going to be around for a very long time. Art school will be around. And when people will open up an art school Gemara and they're going to see that I gave a haskama, they're going to say, who is Rabbi Gifter? Who is this person? And they'll look me up. And I will exist. My name will still be mentioned years after my passing because of you. Because you, so Rabbi Zlatowicz, who's doing here the favor? Me writing the haskama, or you asking me to write the haskama? Okay, very powerful, no? But the point is, from the Sefer Chassidim's point of view, it's all nonsense. Because this world is the world of fantasy, the world of make-believe. Olam HaSheker, Olam Kozav, Alma DeShikra, in the Olam HaEmes, the tzaddikim, they are rewarded, they are known, we have no clue what goes on over there, but whatever goes on over there, that's the real world. And this world, it's not worth fighting about. Make-believe covet, who goes first, who goes second, and this and that, it's all just the world of fantasy. It's the world of Mr. Rogers. This world is Mr. Rogers. You sit by your couch and hold on. And we now go into the world of make-believe. Covet is all the world of make-believe. And that is, in essence, what he's trying to impress upon us. Don't get worked up over covet in this world. Don't seek it. If you seek it, and if you succeed, he's very big realist. The Sefer Chassidim's approach is very different. If you would read a book today about looking after Kavod, you know what they would tell you? They would tell you, you'll never get it. If someone asks you today, write about Kavod. Try to gain Kavod. The more you try to get Kavod, kol ha-borech achra Kavod, Kavod borechas mimen. It's a chazal. Try to get it, you'll get bezioiness. He doesn't say that here. He doesn't focus. His focus is, you know what? You may tackle get it. You may indeed succeed. It's a whole different approach from the Sefer Chassidim. You'll succeed. You may succeed in giving covet, but you should know you're giving up your Olam Haba. Because getting covet in this world, he says, you're receiving your reward in this world. And number two, it's going to do nothing for you in this world. You want to get it? Good, you'll get it. What have you attained? What have you spent all of your time and effort doing? It's worthless. It's worthless. Look at all of the tzaddikim that did much better than you, were much greater than you, and they did not get this covet. Does that mean because you got the covet, you're going to go down in history, does that mean that you're greater than them? Nonsense! You know firsthand that they're greater than you. So obviously, there's another world that's a lot more important, and it's not kedai for you to pursue it. He's not telling you you're not going to get it. Yogata umotsasa. You want covet, you'll get it. You'll get the covet. But you should know two things. Number one, you're giving up your Olam Haba. Covet in this world is spiritual. It takes away Olam Haba. Number two, by getting it, when you will have the covet, what do you have? You have a commodity that's worthless. Worthless. You're going to spend your whole life pursuing covet? What have you taken for yourself? There are much greater people that don't have any covet. And we certainly have emuna that they are in a much better place than we'll ever be. So don't waste your time on this. This is a different approach. It's a whole different approach to what it means, covet. All right, we're going to stop over here up to Tess. Tomorrow, Mir Tzashem will continue. Take a short break and we're going to learn about the sugya of Mishnah.